Finding hope. We've all experienced hope in our lives. But what does it mean to find hope? To find hope is to make a life-changing discovery that touches us, moves us, and allows us to connect personally with the reason for which we live. Hope allows us to reach within ourselves and define the very reason to pursue the dreams that are before us. God, in his infinite wisdom, has provided within each one of us the seed of hope. It was given to us before we were born. It was developed as we grew. And it is the amazing process of our physical life. But just as we grow and give wings to our earthly life, we make daily desires known as we hope that things will work out, that things will come to pass, that things will inevitably work out for our being. So often that is our habit, is when we experience hope, we want it to be not just our hope, but we're kind of gently telling God what we would like to see. Hope is the first step in taking what some may call a dream and lifting it off of the page of our lives and making it into a reality. A number of years ago, I was in Brantford traveling on West Street down by the old train station. Many of you know where that is. And there's an underpass there. And that particular day, someone had spray painted on the wall of the underpass, "Hope is a big girl and she can look after herself." I remember thinking, yes, Hope is big, and she also has a twin sister whose name is Faith. They tend to go together if you are a Christian. Every one of us experiences the opportunity to hope, Christian and non-Christian alike. The difference is this: life as we know it here on earth has limits, and eventually our days here will come to pass and come to an end. That, my friends, is why it is crucial for each one of us to have hope. That hope was given to each one of us by our Heavenly Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. The hope that was given to us through Christ is the promise of eternal life. Through eternal life, we can experience a meaningful life here on earth with the full knowledge and assurance that it does not end when our physical life ends, that our life will continue on beyond this place because it was promised to us by God through his Son. Hope is a wonderful and genuine thing that, like I say, it starts early in our life, and we have the choice to do with it what we want. It is a decision that we have to make. God has provided it there for us. He has given us the opportunity to grow. Hope allows us to find the source of life itself. It lifts us up out of the preoccupation of our own needs, desires, and wants, and allows us to find the eternal source of life. Hope, when accompanied by prayer, can produce amazing results. Our church has been blessed to have a fairly large prayer team, a team that prays on Wednesday nights and throughout the week at home. And over the past number of years, we have had the opportunity to experience, be part, and see amazing things happen in people's lives. Over the last 2 years, one such situation was a lady who had cancer, and it was advanced. And when they performed surgery and did a mastectomy, things did not go well. But she had asked and allowed us the opportunity to be praying for her, to pray that God would sustain her and be with her through this difficult time. When they did the first surgery, they almost lost her. She was very, very close to her life ending. But she had requested prayer, and she was praying, and her family was praying, and they believed, they had hope that she would survive, that things would go well. And by the grace of God, they did. After chemo and radiation, she had to have a second mastectomy. Things went much better. Her spirits were up, and she was in close contact through prayer with God. And we were praying right along with her. But something happened before that second mastectomy. When they did the pre-op test, they found a lump had developed in her neck. And a biopsy showed that it, too, was cancer. After the second round of radiation, when she went in for testing, the results came back and said she was 100% cancer-free. The doctor had trouble with understanding how this could be, and he had the test repeated, and it came back and said she was cancer-free. 6 months later, they had the test again, and she was cancer-free. And when I had the privilege of speaking with her family, they were commenting how wonderful it had been, and I reminded them that they were blessed with a wonderful doctor who had performed a magnificent rounds of surgery. But the great physician was God. And don't ever forget that God is in control. He guided that doctor's hands. And by the grace of God, she was healed. But there was one other thing that she shared with me after this that kind of set me back a little bit. She said, you know, the doctor said to me after the second round and after they determined that I was cancer-free, I just want you to know that when I first met you, I had little hope that you would survive. Two things here. Hope makes all the difference. Hope was what that lady experienced. She had hope in God. She had found Christ. She understood. And they prayed. They prayed as a family. They pray, and we prayed as a team. And God performed a miracle. And I believe it is the responsibility of every one of us as Christians to hold hope up to our brothers, sisters, wives, children, everyone we encounter. Because God gave us the opportunity by revealing to us through the scriptures and through the gospel message that we are special in his eyes. And if we call upon him and ask with all of our hearts, all of our minds, and we trust and have faith, he will, if it be his will, guide us to our destination. More recently, within the last 2 weeks, as we're all aware, what's taking place in Israel, there was an interview cast one night. It was very short, but it was very profound. They interviewed a man on the streets of Gaza, and they were asking him what his thoughts were. He says, we have no medical, we have no food, we have no fuel, but we have hope. Was God not talking through that man? The power of hope can sustain us even in the most difficult times. One other illustration I'd like to share with you this morning, which is real and happened and has taken place, that shows us this power of hope. And that is, a pastor received a phone call one day when he was in his study from a woman and who he had married, that lady and her husband, 10 years before. And she called him and she says, "Pastor, I need to talk to you if I can for just a few minutes. I want you to know that you married us 10 years ago. And we're having difficulties in our marriage today. And we're thinking of getting a divorce. Before this happens, is there anything you can think or say or do to help us?" The pastor said, "Is there any infidelity involved?" She said, "No, we've just grown apart." And he said, "What is your morning habits when you get up in the morning?" She said, "Well, we both get up at 6. I wake my husband up, he gets ready for work, I make breakfast. He has breakfast after work, he goes, and we both go to work from there." He said, "I want you to do something for me." He says, "I don't want you to say anything to your husband this week, but for the next 7 days, I want you to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I want you to get a chair and put it in your bedroom, and I want you to pray over your husband. What I want you to pray is that God will touch his heart and mind and open it so that there's room for God to work. Then after a week, I want you to tell him that you spoke to me, and I'm asking you both to get up at 5:30. And I want you to sit across from each other. And I want you to take the first 10 minutes in silence and think of all the things that's taken you apart. And I want you to take the next 10 minutes and think about all the things that brought you together 10 years ago. The joy, the happiness, the things you did that made your life so happy then. I want you to take the last 10 minutes, and I want you to pray together that God can work in your lives. You have to make room for him. Make things happen." 2 weeks later, he got a phone call. And she says, "Pastor, it worked. We're not getting a divorce. We've made up. Things are going good. They're almost as good as what they were when we were married." The pastor said, "Yes, but we're not finished. We're not finished. We've just started this journey. What has to happen next is you have to start going to church. You have to surround yourself with people who are like-minded. And you have to thank God and don't ever forget what he's done for you. You have to live it. You have to be with others to help you through the tough times. But hope will get you through." All three of these illustrations, my friends, talks about hope and what it does in our lives, what it can give us, the uplifting strength to face what is going on around us in our lives today, tomorrow, and forever. As we look at the world today, it's evident that we're experiencing a global crisis. With wars in the Ukraine and in Israel, with the fires that have devastated California, British Columbia, Northwest Territories, many places in our country, flooding on our East Coast this past summer, hurricanes, earthquakes, our world is being ravished. We all know this. In circumstances beyond our control, millions of people have had their lives destroyed. But as we look around us and take into our minds the devastation and damages that are created, we need also to take a few moments and reflect inward upon our own lives. There, too, we can find much baggage that we carry with us, and we wish it wasn't there. If we look closely, we'll find things that keep us hurting, things that keep us from finding the peace and the joy each one of us desires. Things like fears, or perhaps it's anger, that is settled just below the surface of our minds, but it's ever ready to be drawn up given the opportunity. Perhaps it is scars from things in times gone by. They too are out of sight, but just below the surface of our mind. For others, it might be loneliness, failures, or broken promises. Yes, each one of us carry an assortment of sins collected over a lifetime of living. Friends, we can't fix the world, much less fix ourselves. We cannot achieve a lasting peace. We cannot even get rid of the guilt that weighs upon our minds, let alone forgive our own sins. Sounds depressing? Not really. There's hope, and it can be found. Once it has been found, everything begins to change. Life is different once you've experienced hope. Life changes, and for many, they have found peace. Not just a good feeling that lasts for the moment, but profound peace that is beyond circumstances. It is a peace that satisfies our innermost being. And in order to find that hope that we're all searching for, we need to start by coming to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. We need to invite Him into our lives, ask forgiveness of our sins. Yes, invite Him into our lives to stay. We need to talk with Him in prayer, to confide in Him all that concerns you, and trust Him to work things out. Yes, we have to have faith. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the way that leads to His Father. Jesus is the truth that never changes. Jesus is the life that never, ever, ever ends. Throughout the Old Testament, the prophets told us that Jesus was coming. And all of those predictions came true in Christ. Jesus was the fulfillment of God's promise to a shattered world. Jesus was and is the hope that is given to each one of us today. We complain of how we've been wronged, how we've been hurt by the words and actions of others. It doesn't matter whether it's family or friends. These things hurt. And so often we want to retaliate or respond to these hurts because it makes us think that we will feel better. Even if it is just in the quietness of our hearts and minds, we often go in silence and still think those thoughts. Let me remind you of how Jesus was rejected by those that He came to save. He was betrayed, falsely accused. He was condemned to death. They beat Him. And then after that, they mocked Him and mocked His suffering. Remember the cross and Jesus' broken body? That body was broken for you and I. With a nail of pride, they lifted Christ's body up on that cross for all the world to see. And what they mistook for a broken, finished human being, as they celebrated their victory, they thought also that they'd finally silenced Him. Jesus died that day. With His final words, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They laid Him in a tomb, and 3 days later, He came back to life. Jesus had told His disciples, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it up." The people at that time thought He was referring to a brick and mortar or wooden frame building. He was referring to His body. That is what He said, and that is what He did. Jesus then spent time preparing them for what was yet to come. And as part of that preparation, Jesus prayed with his disciples. Jesus told them that the walk of life that they were embarking on would not be easy, that this journey would be full of difficult times, and yes, it would include hurts, pains, and tears. Friends, that's no different today. Each one of us, if we're following Christ, will experience those same things as we share and witness with others. As Jesus gathered his disciples together after his resurrection, he met them in various places. Isn't that sometimes the same way it is with each one of us? Jesus has met each one of us someplace different for all of us. We met Jesus Christ and we invited him into our lives. And if we've lived close to him, but occasionally over the course of time, we slowly backslide. Maybe it's just a little bit. Maybe it's a little bit more. We revert in part to some of our old habits. We know Jesus Christ. We invited him into our lives. But sometimes we fail to live Christ-like. But Christ is with us. And he said, "Surely I will be with you always to the very end of time." Jesus speaks of our future with him in heaven. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." Isn't that wonderful news to know that we have a place beyond this life, a place that will be called home in the presence of our Heavenly Father and with Christ? Jesus is not dead. He is alive, and he is inviting you today to come to him and put your trust in him. Ask forgiveness of your sins and receive the gift of eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. We cannot save ourselves, but Christ can. We cannot give ourselves the hope of a meaningful, abundant life, but Christ can. Through Christ, we can experience the peace that only comes through him. Hope is found when you turn to Jesus Christ and put your faith in him, asking for forgiveness of your sins, and by trusting him. He promises to forgive you and to recondition your heart, to draw your heart unto him. He promises to never leave you or to forsake you. Jesus never leaves us where he finds us. He lifts us up and draws us unto himself. Only in Jesus is there life and hope. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, we're told, "And now abides faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love." That love first came from God for each one of us. We have a loving Heavenly Father who wants us to be in his home when our life here on earth is over. He has prepared through his Son the opportunity for us to go that way. But in order for us to do that, we have to accept the invitation that he has given us. In Hebrews 6, verse 19 and 20, we're told that this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence beyond the veil when the forerunner has entered for us, Jesus, having become high priest forever. Only in Jesus is there life and hope now and forever. Let Jesus come into your life, forgive you, of your sins and make your life whole again. Leave all of the baggage of your life at the foot of the cross and follow him. Let us pray.